Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Jeff Dunham, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario, plus the sports with Chet Waterhouse. And now, fun fact, Jeff Dunham based his cranky old man Walter puppet on Adam dialing 411. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, man. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that you share the news about this show with a coworker, loved one, or what have you. Good day, Gina Graham.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Coincidence.
We have Jeff Cesario, one of my favorites, in studio, and your favorites, too. People tweet me all the time. How great Jeff is on the show and how much they love Jeff on the program.
Jeff not rocking a no sugar, no grain lifestyle. Really going for it with this delicious looking something and brought cookies.
Yeah, I brought cookies from Porto's because if you get this close to Porto's, you got to buy Porto's.
And
yeah.
Ridiculous. And giant milkshake.
And I see the gaunt look on several of the office workers here.
Porto's is a perfect, like, all you need to know in life is in the baking industry, which is, Porto's is this little bakery that's in Burbank, and if you show up on a Saturday, there's a line going around the block because they make really good cookies and really good everything, and they don't gouge people. I've never seen a billboard. I've never seen an advertisement. I've never seen a celebrity endorsement. It's just make a good product. It's my sort of sub-sandwich approach to life, which is make good subs, charge a reasonable price. You'll always be busy.
The people will come.
Yes. It's really, I don't think there's any straighter ahead version of our society, this life, this country, and us as human beings than Porto's.
Yeah.
It's just, just hang your shingle out, make something good. You can't be twice as much as the guy up the street. You can be a little bit more. The product will be superior, and then there'll just be a line of people. And that's good, the way it works.
Good customer service, too.
And good customer service.
Always pleasant.
So thank you, Jeff Cesario. I had a thought. You know, we talk a lot about on the show about sort of my yardsticks to measure society's intelligence. I've said, you know, show me a society where they're bad to their women. I'll show you a bad society. Mm-hmm. We've also decided that societies where they do a lot of haggling. There's a lot of street crime and murder as well. I came up with this thought. It has nothing to do with either one of those. But again, in my sort of overall attempt to try to figure out life, aversion to dust. Now, here's what I want to say. You can go back. You can. I sort of believe at the top of the food chain, like, there's human beings and then there's animals and there's, like, you know, my dog, Phil. My dog, Phil, walks around. If my dog, Phil, sees a pill bug on the ground, he eats it. He doesn't think about it. He just eats it.
Right.
He does not care. There's a bug on the ground. He's going to eat it. And then you get to the top and you get to Elon Musk or you get to Stephen Hawking or something. That's the top. And then we all land, you know, somewhere in between. You think about a dog, an animal, and its relationship to dust. Mm-hmm. Like, my dog will just lay in the middle of a dirt patch in the backyard, just in the hot sun, searing down, just a wildebeest rolling in dust. Like, the animal kingdom not only has no problem with dust, but actually enjoys dust.
Yeah.
They like dust.
Yeah.
You get to the super top of the food chain, like the guys that are out there, you know, engineering rockets and things like that. They're actually allergic to dust. Like, as a matter of fact,
the higher
you get up, the less dust.
Yep. Yeah.
You get in a total dust-free, sterile environments.
How are you? You get up to the end of that, right. That super, you know, super achiever.
Yeah. I was thinking about all the guys I would work. The move I hated the most when I worked construction is you'd be in some big old warehouse that you were doing some earthquake rehab work in, and it's not been inhabited in 20 years, and it was full of, like, you know, rat shit and just dust and grime and just whatever collects over 20 years in downtown with the old brick building. And the guys be moving this, you know, it's like he'd be loading the plywood into it, and he'd take that first sheet and he'd hold it straight up and down and go, all right, where do you want me to stack it over here? And he'd just let it go, and it just go poosh. And you'd see as the light was coming through the skylights or the raised windows on the side, you for an hour later, you'd see that stuff just floating around, and you'd be holding an open coffee, and you'd go, what are you doing? And I go, setting the plywood down, dude. Yeah. And he realized,
you told me to put it here.
Right. I'm going insane.
You're in a Spielberg movie. Yeah. Right. Light coming in from the windows.
He wants to know what's wrong with me. And I realize, oh, I'm smarter than he is, and I don't like dust.
That's a good one.
I think, and you see guys like grinding, they're out there, they're grinding masonry and stuff, and they're not wearing a mask or anything. Like, the aversion to dust.
This bodes well for Sonny.
Yes.
This bodes extremely well for Sonny's development.
Oh, my God.
It's a titan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captive industry.
Jesus
Santino
Christ.
Santino Corolla.
That kid, in the same breath, he was explaining to me that he had reservations about me teaching him how to ride a bicycle this weekend. He was also saying that he was out in the movie It. Too much for him.
It was not
it. Too edgy. Well,
he was out on It.
Out on It.
I think there's a line you can cross with the aversion to dust being a positive sign of a man's advancement. Having come from an anal retentive Italian Catholic family, there is a line you can cross, and it's just like you would throw something in a wastebasket in my house and go back 30 seconds later and it was gone. My dad will have emptied the wastebasket.
Four-star hotel.
Somewhere in that 30 seconds.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
And I think that is a form of mental illness that prevents you from enjoying life. I mean, a little dust is okay.
Did you have plastic slip covers on all the furniture?
No, we didn't do that. Good. Although that's I did have to go outside. We were not allowed in the living room, so I don't actually know what was in the living room. No, we had to go outside and look through the picture window. Hey, we got a new couch last year. You know.
And farther down, like the Howard Hughes, the opposite end, a lot of animals cover themselves in dust to protect themselves.
Yeah.
So we really have the whole spectrum.
I agree. And no, when you go too far with it, no, the animals that roll in dust, and I'm saying the illegals I pick up at Home Depot who I'm forced to work with, have a much stronger immune system. They're much hardier.
Right.
They're much hardier than guys named Sheldon who are living at the top of the food chain in a sterile environment. But I think in terms of intelligence, they don't quite have it. Anyway, just my dust observation. All right, quick phone call, and then we got stuff to share. I think we got a Baldywood.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of it.
I got Maxine Waters, and she was eulogizing Dick Gregory, and that was awesome. That was awesome. Matt, I think they call that black-on-black crime. Matt, 48, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
How are you? I am a lifelong resident of Pennsylvania, and it's been my daughter's dream to visit Los Angeles. So she turned 18 at the beginning of August, and I took my wife and my daughter and my son out to your city for a week, and it was a fantastic time. But it was cool as a longtime listener of your show to kind of see some of the things that you talk about and complain about firsthand. So I'm proud to say the first thing that I did was I made a left on a red arrow on Hollywood Boulevard, and that felt really good.
Liberating, right?
Yeah, yeah, it felt really, really good. And the kids were all kind of in the back screaming, like, what are you doing? And I say, Adam says it's all right. I can turn left. There's
no, it's better. It ups the pleasure. It's like being choked right when you climax. Like having, I will
exactly
hire a
like
kid. I will put a kid in the back of my car just to go, no, what are you doing? As I go through it. It's even better.
The other unfortunate thing was I'm used to the hot dogs out here, and I know you complain about Dodger dogs, and I didn't go to the stadium to have a Dodger dog, but I think I had the comparison at the Griffith Observatory in the cafe. They had the hot dogs wrapped up in foil, so you couldn't really see what they were, and bought a couple of those and sat down, and I took one bite, and I could not eat any more. It was the most disgusting thing I ever had.
I want to say this, and I'm going to make a plea to the Hispanics in Los Angeles listening. You know, I come down on you guys because you're not from hot dog country.
Right.
You need Jews. You need folks from Chicago. You need folks from New York.
You need sausage people.
You need sausage.
Yeah, that's right.
Sausage and dog. Yeah, you need that in your background. Otherwise, it's tough to judge. And my theory has always been... And everyone thinks I'm cockamamie with all my thoughts. I am not. My thoughts are Dodger Stadium, the people who show up at Dodger Stadium, it's a large Hispanic group. I mean, in terms of if you could pick folks from the Chicago area or Jews from, New York versus Hispanic folk, it's 50-1 at Dodger Stadium. They don't have a rich history with dogs, and thus, there are not a lot of judging going on.
Right, nothing to compare it to.
There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I cut you guys some cultural slack on that, but they've completely fucked up nachos, and I've not heard one of you say a word.
That's true.
That's your food, and you've not fucking... You should burn that fucking stadium down for what they did to nachos when the chips got round and they started applying the cheese with a pump.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
So, Hispanic folks, rise up with the nachos. I'll give you a pass on the dogs.
Yeah. Take your snacks back.
Resist.
That's right. That's right.
Let's reclaim your snacks.
That's right. Let's reclaim it. You take a Dodger dog, poke it through a plate, a paper plate. It's never a good sign when you have to poke a candle through a paper plate. Somebody, by the way, should start manufacturing plates with holes in them so that we didn't have to.
Right.
The same way I feel about stroke canes and old people walkers.
Yeah.
Instead of taking tennis balls and hacking up, could someone just put a foot on one of those things?
Especially because it's got to irritate old people because it's the one
you can't participate in that
in sports. That goes 160 miles an hour.
That's right.
And now they have the balls to stick it on the end of your
literally. So, Mexicans, take the paper plate, push a Dodger dog through it, put a little dab of the queso, put a little dab of the cheese. That stuff will burn for days.
Yeah.
It's
all oil.
It is not. It's petroleum based. Light that, and let's take back the night and the snacks.
Yes.
So, you had a horrible dog. Can I say this about dogs? I don't like the prefab part of the dog.
No.
I don't like when they take the dog and they do it up with the foil and they start stacking them up and there's 28 of them waiting for you there. Mm-hmm. And you get the one that's first in line, which means the coldest because it's been sitting there the longest. I'm fine with you taking the tongs, pulling the dog out of the hopper, dropping it onto the bun, and handing it to me. I don't feel like that's a ton of work.
Yeah, tip of the cap to Costco for that, because they still do that at Costco.
Yep.
And it's like 75 cents.
It's $1.50 for a dog and a soda. And the dog, regardless of taste, is at least about 10, 11 inches long. It's a lot of meat.
It's a dollar worth of good.
The dog, and this is why the Observatory and Dodger Stadium should hang their head in shame. The dog you can get in front of the Home Depot up the street or in front of the Costco down the street is far superior to the dog they serve at Dodger Stadium. Matt?
You know, Adam, I'll tell you the other shocking thing to see firsthand, and I know you talk about it all the time, was the homeless population. And I've been to a lot of the big cities around here. I'm about an hour north of Philadelphia, about an hour and a half or so from New York City. Been to Washington, D.C., and that's depressing to see the homeless people on the street with the nation's capital building right behind them. But Los Angeles was a whole other level of homeless that even kind of expecting to see a lot of them, it was like something out of a movie. We were downtown and we turned a corner. We were going to the Grand Central Market, I think it's called.
Yes.
And turned left, and all of a sudden, both sides of the street, as far as the eye could see, were tents and tarps and lean-tos and baby strollers and people just kind of walking across the street with one flip-flop, like you said. It was literally something out of a movie. And I don't understand how a city gets that way, or how it lets a population of people. And I know a lot of them, I think, need help. I interacted with some by mistake on Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, your homeless people are also a lot more aggressive than I'm used to. I don't usually have people come up to me and, you know, engage me as much as people were.
Yeah,
it was startling. That's all I can say. It was really startling.
Well, the reason it's gotten to where it's gotten to is because those people don't have money, and yeah, they're empty bags, as Mike August always says. And our city focuses solely on people who have money and ways to extract money from those people. Now, I would argue, for the amount we pay in property taxes and just taxes in general, if part of that is providing a fire department and a police department and trash pickup, having huge marauding bands of gypsies with shit in their diaper walking out in front of your house, I would file that under part of what I should be getting for my tax dollar.
High priority item. Yeah.
Yes.
Matt paints quite a picture of Tinseltown. Land of hopes and dreams.
Yeah. You see all the barbed wire around the freeway signs?
That too, yeah. And just people along the freeways too, or the overpasses. People, you see little tent cities up under the, any place that there's a flat surface.
Ah, Tinseltown. The beautiful people.
Yeah.
But that's what's so weird about it. It just to see the beautiful weather every single day, blue skies, you know, fancy cars, beautiful houses, everything I've ever dreamed of seeing. You know, I'm a fan of music and movies, and it was everything come to life. And then that's the other side of it. Like, all this wealth and all this beauty, and then you have thousands of people living just out in the open. It was very strange.
Well,
thank you. Thank God for you, Adam, because everybody else that comes here is just colossally disappointed and freaked out. But this guy is, he's a little chuffed that he got to see the LA you're always talking about.
Thank you. No. Sorry, Jeff Cesario.
No, in defense of our great city, we have a geographic disadvantage, which is we are at the bottom of the little kids game where the marbles roll into the corner. I mean, there's no more land to the west of us. So people who go progressively more insane or progressively more ambitious wind up landing out here. Then there's nowhere to go.
Or Plinko.
So, yeah, if you're going to be homeless in Philly or homeless here, you're going to be homeless here. You know, and there's more opportunity to go insane here. So there's a lot of marbles.
You should write the travel brochures. Be homeless here.
A lot of marbles here. A lot more marbles here than perhaps other parts of the country.
Yeah, he was talking about going to the observatory. And
first of all, don't get any food at the observatory. What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, who's eating at the observatory?
Yeah.
Plenty of things on Hillhurst.
That's not even, I don't think they have food there. I think someone just sold them a dog.
I
get a sad snack.
Also, the observatory does have that thing that you were describing, which is you let the ball bearing go and it just keeps going around, 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 and eventually it goes down the black hole in the middle, and that's Los Angeles.
That's right.
Poetic.
All right. We got lots of stuff to get to. First, I'll tell you about BetDSI, 20 years paying winners, A-plus rated on sports review sites, and I play there myself. I recommend BetDSI. Use your sports knowledge. Make a little extra cash. Easy to use. They have a mobile playing interface. Play, win, get paid. Odds on all things football, including live bets and betting during the game and props as well. Games in action, all the major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much anything that's out there. If there's more than one person involved, somebody's playing somebody else, and something that has to beat something, you can pretty much be sure you can bet on it at BetDSI. Use the promo code Corolla25. Get $25 free, a free $25 wager just for registering. Decide to deposit, and you get a 200% bonus match on your money. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code Corolla25. Get started with the $25 wager and the 200% extra bonus when you deposit. BetDSI. All right, let's see. I got questions up there. There's a hypothetical question. There's one about someone falling in love with me. I fell in love. Somebody tweeted me a clip of Maxine Waters, and she was eulogizing Dick Gregory. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book called I didn't know the man, but he was kind of a dick to me once. And I wish I could say more.
A memoir.
Which is,
a pamphlet.
You know, especially if you hang around comedians, it's always like, oh, man, the best. Rodney was the best. Rodney was the best. All that guy did was help young comedians, a shirt off his back. All Rodney did was help other comedians. That guy was a mensch. He was a jewel who'd be missed. I miss him every day. You got a Rodney story, Adam? He did Loveline once. He was a total douchebag. And that's all I got.
That's all I got.
I met Rodney once with Seinfeld outside the improv, and Jerry goes, "You want to meet Rodney?" I go, "Sure, yeah, I'd love to." He was a young comedian just in town, and big deal. And he goes, "Rodney, this is my friend Jeff Cesario." And Rodney goes, "Cesario, Italian, huh? Stick to the tumbling." And he walked off. Just walked right off.
Our client is known for tumbling?
The vaudeville, actually.
Oh, yeah. Like
the traveling.
The, the flying Willendas and stuff like that.
Sure, the famous
right
Italians.
Wow.
I know. He walked into my dressing, or I walked into his dressing room before he did Loveline on MTV, and I said, I just want to tell you I'm the host, Adam Carolla, and I'd like to introduce myself. And he went, why? I said, because, you know, just coming on the show, so just saying hi. Yeah, okay.
Now
all right, so just saying, say what you like and, you know, enjoy yourself. Yeah, okay. Like, okay, all right. Left, and then later on, after the show, they do that thing that Jeff's probably been on both sides of the camera for, which is you run up, and now it's time to cut promos. Anybody does Kimmel or would do Leno back in the day, at the end, when they're all standing there, they do that move where he's standing there, and he's like, in the audience, everyone stays, and he goes, hey, I want to thank Mike and, up next, Mike and Kim in your action news. And then they roll the next one. Yeah. Up next, KCAL 9, Stephen Shelley, and your, and your
number one
action
news.
Number one news. And they do the thing, you know. So after Loveline, you have to sit there and whoever it is, and, they go, hey, I'm Ronnie Dangerfield. Watch me coming up next on Loveline. And then they do one more where they go, coming up tomorrow on Loveline. And I think they'll do one more, like, coming up in an hour on Loveline or whatever. He's like, nah, I'm leaving. And like, we just knock him off right here. And he's like, nah. Like, me and Drew in the audience, and the camera's already positioned, and they're holding the cue card up. And he's like, nah. Like, just why? I got to get a haircut, he said.
Haircut. Really?
Like Rodney walks into the Fantastic Sam's and they go, well, sorry, funny man, but you're about 40 seconds late, so maybe tomorrow or
maybe,
not.
Maybe next time they'll read those promos.
That phrase has the drug quotation marks around it automatically. I got to go get a haircut.
I got to go get a haircut. All right, so Dick Gregory I met one time. It was in New York. Couple of weeks after 9/11 at the Hugh Hefner roast, and it's before they had rules for the roast. He went up, you know, supposed to, you know, basically cobble together 11 jokes about Hefner and then keep it to 5 minutes and get out of there.
Right.
He did 35 minutes on civil rights.
Wow.
Hilarious.
It wasn't really like he was just sort of. Hugh was around back in the day when the movement was going on, but he wasn't roasting Hugh, and that's the only time I ever met Dick Gregory. But evidently Maxine Waters, who you guys probably know, she's known nationally.
Congresswoman in California, right?
She's known nationally, but
yeah.
Well, and just to catch people up, Dick Gregory, a comedian.
Yeah.
Started as a stand-up.
Activist, comedian, sort of pioneer and what have you.
Health
so
foods.
She is, Maxine is eulogizing Dick, and here's how it went.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a politician. I'm not supposed to thank Bill and Camille Cosby.
Oh.
A friend in need is a friend indeed. And if you can't stand with your friends when they need you, you are not worth your salt.
Abort!
No, she doesn't believe in that pill.
Run.
Oh, she's
and so, those who don't like what we say or do, those who think maybe you have too much money, you know too much, you're too uppity, they're going to talk about you, they're going to undermine you, they're going to discredit you, and if you can't stand with your brothers and sisters when it goes down.
Hold on, I'm picturing Patton Oswalt standing in the wings, like looking at 3x5 cards.
Crossing out jokes.
Dick was a fine father and a great individual. We'd met on many occasions. We worked on the first BET Awards together. What the fuck is this bitch talking about? Holy shit.
At the roast when someone else does your joke or the
right.
joke.
Right, crossing
stuff
out.
He's having to cross out to the ground patents.
Bill Cosby, the whole Bill Cosby and Camille Cosby cards. Not sure why Maxine needed to pay homage to Bill and Camille, but...
Interesting tangent,
but look... I believe her brain is being eaten by syphilis, so I don't judge the woman, but I've called her insane for about 20 years.
Yeah,
nobody believes me, but yeah.
She may think she's at Bill Cosby's funeral.
Oh, that's a good point.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Well, let's carry on. Let's see if we get around to Dick Gregory or not.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Don't talk about how much you love Dick Gregory.
Oh, there he is.
Dick Gregory gave up everything. He gave up a fortune. To be about black business, what are you going to do? Don't you dare come here tonight and talk about how much you loved him and then go to work tomorrow and skin and grin.
Uh-oh. What? I don't know gay slang.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
I think it means like
scratch
kiss up.
Scratch where you don't okay. itch.
Kiss up to Whitey?
Scratch where you don't itch. Okay.
Laugh when it's not funny. It's time for us to have the courage to do what we need to do. And if ever there was a time, it is now. I wish that I had the counsel of Dick Gregory in those hours that we spent together. Yes, I learned an awful lot. I'm at a time now.
I'm guessing Dick didn't learn
shit. I could sit with Dick because I've got work to do.
Funny.
I'm cleaning out the White House.
Uh-oh. By the way, I'm picturing Dick Gregory's 31-year-old grandkids sitting there going, what the fuck is going on?
We're going to sanitize the White House.
Weird 3D printer thing behind it that just right. keeps going back and forth.
It's like a Scientology award ceremony.
What is happening in this country? Haven't you taken enough?
I mean, right now or in general?
Comes along this person. This person... who does not respect you, this dishonorable human being, who cheats everybody, this dishonorable human being, who will lie at the drop of a hat, this dishonorable human being, who have the alt-right and the KKK and everybody else inside his cabinet. This dishonorable human being who can
Hold
criticize
on.
Everybody.
Had to be weird. Stop it. Had to be weird for the three people that went to the bathroom and came back in the middle of this dishonorable human. There's a big picture of Dick Gregory with flowers around. This racist. This pedophile.
The slave of the KKK.
Did you ever look in his cabinets?
This man who kept white supremacists in his cabinets. And that's poor people like confused. Like what? Dick did what?
Yes.
A civil rights pioneer. What is going on? How long does this keep going on? This is you're eulogizing a dead guy.
In a very roundabout way.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
a very tactful way to, yeah.
This dishonorable human being who can criticize everybody but Putin and Russia.
Still weird for the person that went to the bathroom.
I bet you Dick Gregory would tell me, yeah, he did it. Not only are we going to clean out the White House, we're going to take back the house that slaves built. And I know even my colleagues get very upset.
All right, I don't want to go. I don't want to go ethnic here, but if this was at the Apollo, the Sandman would have come out like 20 minutes ago
thing.
With
Swept
the broom,
off,
right?
Man.
Like, hey, crazy lady. Yeah. This woman is running things and deciding on policies. Mm-hmm. She's making decisions on policies. Yep. This insane person.
I mean, I think she's trying to say that at the core of Dick Gregory's beliefs, at least later in his life, there were some touchstones, but she didn't just touch on them. She sat on them and had dinner. But, you know, I sort of get that groove. But, you know, like you say, Jeffrey Ross is backstage going, yo, let's go.
Wrap her up.
Yeah.
Bow ties
blinking. Get the flashlight out.
Have you ever seen, I don't think.
D.L. Hewley here has got 8 great roast jokes. Let's go.
Not sure. Look, again, like, I don't know why. I mean, Bill Cosby was a comedian.
Yes.
I got that part. But I don't know why he should have been. I don't know why we needed to support him there.
Right.
Yeah.
Weird opener.
Yes. Sorry. You got another crazy Maxine Waters?
Yeah, I just wanted to show you this because I don't think we ever talked about it in the news. This made me giddy to no end. I don't even think it needs explanation, but she was not going to have anyone run out the clock while she was trying to get an answer.
Four quarters offense.
Dean Smith.
That's right.
She had 3 words that she kept screaming at this man, and it was just delightful. I think it might be queued up. I'm not sure.
Answer that.
Just please go straight to
and
the answer.
Mr. Chairman, I thought when you read the rules, you acknowledged that I shouldn't be interrupted and that I would have
reclaiming my time. What he failed to tell you was when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please, will you respond to the question of why I did not get a response, me and my colleagues, to the May 23rd letter?
Well, I was going to tell you my response.
Just tell me.
Okay. So, first of all, okay, let me just say that the Department of Treasury has cooperated extensively with the Senate Intel Committee, with the House Intel Committee, with the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Reclaiming my time.
Okay.
Reclaiming
matter of fact,
my time.
Mr. Secretary, the time belongs to the gentlelady from California.
So that goes on for a while, but reclaiming my time was quite the phrase for a couple of weeks.
I labeled her Aunt Esther 20 years ago, and I stand by it. She's clinically insane.
I might use that, though, in an argument.
It's great.
A pretty good
reclaiming my time,
honey.
I loved it.
Yeah, I like it. It doesn't work if you use it once. You have to use it more than 7 times, and then it's good. It's a nice mantra. Mm-hmm. It actually... something that would be a good mantra, just alone during the quiet times.
Yeah.
That's just reclaiming your time.
Yeah.
This is me time.
All right. So Jeff is here. I got the phone calls up there. We got Dunham out there. He's here. All right. Yeah, you may have to sit on that baldy wood. We got too much show going on. I just want to blow through some calls. We'll do it tomorrow, though, lighter show.
Sonny will base his decision off my recommendation.
Chet Waterhouse is coming up. Steve, 44, Florida. Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Ace Man? Get it on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm down here in Tampa, and I just made it through Hurricane Irma. Oy. And one thing I noticed, you know, of course, before the storm's coming, there's the governor on TV, a bunch of, you know, first responders, and all announcing, hey, you know, shelter in place this or evac now. I mean, giving plenty of advice and tips. But every single press conference, without fail, had the sign language interpreter standing right next to the podium. Of course, you know, signing what the governor, whoever, was saying. And I can't help but wondering, in this day and age with the internet, you got closed caption. Of course,
you're right.
Different things out there. Is this just all political grandstanding?
Yes.
I mean, how many people is this really affecting? I mean, deaf people
less than
kidding.
60%. Maybe 55%.
Careful, I'm going to hold you to that.
You're right. First off, here's the thing. If you don't have the closed caption thing and you've been deaf for 25 years, that's kind of on you. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to step up to that technology. Secondly, you should know how to read lips.
Like Marlee Matlin in Seinfeld.
That's right.
That's right. You need to learn how to read lips. What they should have, the way they should save money, is get rid of the chick with the sign language. They must have a super strong union, because I see those people at every single event, every college I've ever played, the chick has been standing there. It's always a chick. It's not a dude move, unless it's Marlee Matlin's dude, and then that's the thing.
Got it.
So
he's the only one.
Two rules. You need to be the same gender as the person talking. You don't want the dude up there with the chick doing it, and you don't want Marlee with the dude doing the thing. But here's my whole thing. You must learn to read lips,
okay.
and we will save the taxpayers millions of dollars. I mean, over the course of thousands of years, but still millions of dollars by eliminating this. But in the corner, we'll have a very close-up shot of the person's mouth. It also sort of force good hygiene amongst our elected leaders, because you don't want a piece of broccoli flour on there. And we'll show their mouth. And if you can't keep up with their mouth, then that's on you, Defo. And I say that with love, but I know you didn't hear me. So I'm not worried about it. Yep. There's no signing on this show. And we'll save millions of dollars. Yes? And right. And also,
finally, someone takes a hard stand against the
terrorists. I'll tell you what's crazy. You go to Europe. Okay, so here's the deal.
These deaf have got under your craw.
Oh, man. Don't
they
get
got
me
it good for too long.
Don't get me started. Okay. The more evolved, I'm telling you, Gary, you got to look this one up. The more evolved, the more screen time these guys get. The more progressive, the more screen time they get, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to Mexico and the president's giving a speech and there's one drunk dude just flying the bird. He's just sitting there, just leaning on a cactus going, fuck you. And that's all they have over there. That's what they have. Mm-hmm. Hand of God. Google
I realize
it.
That. Okay,
Google
I'll
it.
Have to
yeah,
Google
you got
to
look it up. You go to Canada, it'll take up about half the screen. I've been in Europe where they're doing like you watch the nightly news on Europe. They have a third of the screen dedicated to the person doing the hand stuff.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. I think the more it's you basically saying to the world, here's how evolved we are. We will dedicate half the screen to less than 1/10 of the population that is watching this show. And yes, with the closed caption now, there's no excuses. I agree. Also,
step up your game.
These people need to add to their reel, though, these interpreters.
That's true.
I mean, that's how they get
it's
work.
A primetime gig.
They have to have hipster gigs.
Look,
yeah.
I don't want to sound harsh, but if the tide takes out a couple of defos, is it really that big a deal for society? You know what I mean? Does it really hurt us that badly? Now, look. I'm telling you, right? Gary, am I right? In Canada and England, the more progressive...
The English, yeah, and the English one's a little weird because it's almost like a tilted back, like angled version of the screen that looks like the intro to a 60 Minutes piece with a dude standing there and you can see his entire body from head to toe. It's,
wow.
It's all very strange.
Too much.
So am I right with the Canadian one is huge? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does appear so.
All right.
Wow.
Let's get the closed caption going. You're right.
You know what their side hustle could be?
Mm.
You know there is an actual market for people to explain what's happening in a porno to people who can't see. So maybe they could spread their wings a little bit, diversify.
Yeah. I feel like I would handle that like I handled my oral reports in junior high, which I never read the book and just showed up and kind of like... The Merrimack was super pissed at the monitor, like buku pissed.
You based everything off the cover as
and,
clearly a couple of here.
You know, they were firing, man. Like the Merrimack was like, fuck this shit. And the monitor's like, yeah, well, fuck that. And so one of them won. And then there, that's, you know, World War II in a nutshell. I mean,
Mr. Carolla,
who's next? And by the way, can we stop the Asians from going in front of me?
Where? Anywhere?
On the oral reports.
On the oral
reports. They over prepare.
Yeah, that's.
Can we get my buddy Ray or Chris to go up in front to kind of add a little padding?
Yeah, that bar
so you don't get the
high.
Fucking bends between the A pluses and the D minuses here.
Fortunate to have gone to school in an era. Where we didn't have to deal with a bar getting thrown that high.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, like Paul Polera was the kid in front of me, and he would just
That's
pretty
what
much
you
do
need.
It. Yeah.
It's not about how good your oral report is. It's about how bad the guy goes in front of you is.
Yeah.
You know, you want him to go like...
It's open mic at Catch a Rising Star. You just
right.
got to get the right spot.
You just want
man.
The wrong guy to go in front of you.
Right.
That's right. Cool off that audience, man. I'm sorry. What the hell was the question?
I would wager blind people who need to hear porno are a larger segment of the of America than.
Are we in the same?
The
are we in the same room with them, or do we call them up? Because I remember that story.
I'm not sure. I know that you know, like a book on tape.
It's got to be an audio track.
Yeah, you can do like an erotic novel reading, but why not go to the movies with a buddy and tell him what's up?
All right. Rachel fell in love with me. At some point. Hey, Rachel?
Hey, everyone. I listen to you all the time, so it's really a treat to
nice.
Talk with you.
30, San Diego. What's going on?
Hey, Adam, I, as a 12-year-old, stayed up too late to listen to Loveline on the radio one night, and that first episode that I heard, you said something that just had your genius snap into focus for me, and I've been a Ooh. Fan ever since.
Do tell. What was it?
He's a big boy.
Well, there was a caller asking about if it was safe for his wife to use a vibrator because she was pregnant. And Drew gave his standard medical answer, but he did say that in the third trimester of the pregnancy to be careful with the vibrator, not have too vigorous usage. And you, without missing a beat, said, yeah, because you don't want to give birth to scrambled eggs. And I just thought that was amazing.
I thought it was you don't want to give it a stutter, but okay.
Well, you've grown.
I've grown. I've matured. Yeah, I've evolved. Exactly. Much like Dick Gregory started off with knock-knock jokes, and then he got into the movement.
So that's the line that did it for Rochelle, or Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel. How's your life going?
No problem.
Did we steer you toward the light?
I'm a social worker, and I got married earlier this year, so things are going pretty good.
Muscle
good. You have any kids?
No kids yet. Don't want to give birth to scrambled eggs, so I heed your advice.
Take it easy. All right.
Yep.
Thank you. Name your first son Adam, and then call us back.
Might have to do that. Thank you, guys.
Thanks. All right. Let's put the calls on hold. We got a few calls up there, but we got Jeff Cesario over here and Jeff Dunham out there, and we got Chet Waterhouse to get to. So let's crank it up, shall we, Brian?
Chet?
The Sports with Chet Waterhouse.
Hello again, everybody. Chet Waterhouse with the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Gentlemen Prefer Gentlemen, the All Gentlemen's Gentlemen's Club. NFL! Atlanta beat up Aaron Rodgers so bad his sleep number is now 913. Cowboys got spanked like a Japanese businessman at a Dutch brothel. Gina, that sounds like your wheelhouse. The LA Chargers small soccer stadium had more empty seats than a Rammstein concert in Tel Aviv. Chargers lost for the second time on a missed field goal. Their kicker, Young Ho Koo, has loaded himself in shame onto a Maersk shipping container headed for Seoul, South Korea, with just water and cat meat. In the 2014 draft, the New York Jets passed on Oakland stud quarterback Derek Carr and Giants MVP Odell Beckham Jr. That item brought to you by the New York Jets, making even your boss look like Richard Branson. College football, USC played Texas, and the combined fan bases, Adam, were still less elitist than the entire Emmy telecast. Baseball, Cleveland Indians won a record 22 games in a row, but still eventually had to fly back to Cleveland. Boxing, Canelo Alvarez and Gennady Golovkin fought to a draw in Las Vegas, like virtually every other couple who visits Las Vegas. Also, after a week of wall-to-wall media coverage, Adam, I still do not know which one was Alvarez and which one Golovkin. That item brought to you by Motorboats, the restaurant that's just a little more fun than Hooters. If you want more of me, let's just say this. Macrame is back. The first annual international macrame playoffs at the Corn Dome in Waterloo, Iowa. Three words, Adam, that separate this event from your average macrame competition. 45-second clock. That's right. They got to do it short. I'm on play-by-play for the Departure Gate Network. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.
Chet Waterhouse Sports.
Everybody loves Chet Waterhouse. You can shoot him a tweet at Real Jeff Cesario. That starts with a C, by the way. And this Saturday, September 23rd, Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Tickets at comedyandmagicclub.com. Or if you're in Chicago, you can come see me. I'll be, where am I going to be? Oh, Park West, Chicago. That'll be Saturday. Forza Motorsports 7 on Xbox One, October 3rd, exclusively for Xbox One and Windows 10. Collect and race 700-plus cars, including Le Mans-winning Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe and the Ford GT40, as seen in my movie, The 24-Hour War. You can see the Forza version of it, which is unbelievable. The graphics are insane. Gorgeous graphics, 4K resolution, 60 frames per second, 30 famous destinations, including Laguna Seca. I was just there. Sonoma. I was just there. Long Beach. I was almost just there about a year ago. Watkins Glen, legendary Monza, Nürburgring. It's all there. If you like racing, you're going to love Forza Motorsport 7 for Xbox One. And you can check out the version of, there's a digital version of, the digital version, you get the Hoonigan car pack, which features Ken Block. I showed you guys Ken Block driving through the streets of San Francisco. His 1960.
Oh, yeah, crazy,
Yep, 1965. He's done like 10 of those. Hoonicorn, it's free, by the way. It's a really cool car that was at the event that I was at when we were filming this thing. Anyway, Forza 7 out October 3rd, everybody. Jeff Dunham is out there. Jeff Cesario, always great to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Great seeing you, man.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back with the other Jeff right after this.
From producer Dick Wolf. A new kind of Law & Order series based on true crimes.
Two counts of murder have been filed against Lyle and Eric Menendez.
The story of one family.
Everybody thinks we were this perfect family, but we were a disaster.
And the crime that shocked America.
What these boys did is not the issue. It's why they did it.
This is where Edie Falco stars in Law & Order True Crime, The Menendez Murders. Next Tuesday on NBC.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to today's Good Sports presented by Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. What's the poop, Ace Man?
I'm interested in getting on to what's on Gary's list.
Let's hit it. Let's hear what's on the Sheck list today, Gary.
The Sheck list.
Yeah, so the two remaining items that we have on the Sheck list are the NFL Week 3 lineup, as well as our good friend Dennis Rodman, who's out there solving the ills of the world.
Or, if Ace wants to call an audible, we could go back to the fan conduct policy, or we could do more, we could do bad sports cliches,
well,
or anything
we
else.
Never, we never covered the fan conduct policy, so maybe we should do that.
All right, let's dip in a little bit about that. We'll do a mixed bag here. We did tackle yesterday. You can go back and check that one out. We fixed nachos.
No, okay. So first and foremost, no service dogs ever.
Right.
That's
you don't like when that
can't
happens.
Can't have service dogs anywhere ever. That's fine.
Where do you come down on this? I used to joke, and it's inappropriate. It's certainly politically incorrect. What do you think about the guy? A friend of mine used to joke that when we were matriculating at Indiana University, that he could get a front row seat if I would push him in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And then I would be with him, and I would be allowed to, you know, hang out with him, presumably.
It's good, but it's bad juju.
Right. You don't, I don't think it would go well.
It'll get you front center on a college basketball game, but down the road when your child is paralyzed in a construction accident, you know, 26 years later, you'll think back on that and wonder.
Okay,
so
that's
all right. Number one. Number two, fans. I'd like to outlaw the couple that dressed alike. You know, the same hats, the same jerseys, the same everything, that they were just way too close, and they were not only in love with each other, but in love with the, you know, UCLA Bruins.
Does it go too far when people get married at, you know, like when they do it at the ball game, down on the field before the game?
Well, here's my take on that. I don't know if you've heard it or not. Here's my deal. If I ran a stadium, I would say we can go ahead and have proposal and or marriage cam. You know, like we'll put you up on the Jumbotron if you want to propose to your honey bunny all spontaneously. But here's the caveat. When you guys get divorced 4.5 years from now, we're going to have to televise that as well. And we'll have to have you back. Obviously, the fella probably won't know about it. He's going to be there, and it'll be divorce camp. And he'll just be sitting there, and one of our friends, like a guy who looks like Elliot, wearing a three-piece suit, will be come down the aisle with an attaché case, and he'll look confused. And the kids will start crying, wanting to know what's going on. And she'll be handing the ring back. And we'll split the screen. We'll put a box in of when they proposed, you know, 11 years ago or whatever it is. We'll do it with the hairstyles different. She's obviously lighter. You know, she's put on some weight with a lot of the stress and the kids and the marriage that's not going right. And then they will be served paperwork from the attorney.
Oh, that is the greatest idea.
Divorce cam.
I want to, let's, we have to make that so ASA. That's a, we refer you now for some announcements on the center field. We right. refer you up
and
to the big
can't
screen.
No, the guy or the girl, whoever decides they want the divorce,
happy
the other
11th
party
birthday
can't know.
To 11-year-old Evan. Right. And also, Alicia has a message for you, Terry. Please look at the screen.
Right. And then she's explaining that she's, you know, and it'd be good if there's something embarrassing. Like, you know, I know you're struggling with your sexuality and unable to achieve an erection, but that's not all of it. You're tuned out. The only thing we have in common are the Mariners. Megan, and then she points out, and everyone cheers, you know, when you say the team, the home team.
People
you know.
Love the people love it ball games these days when they give you the choice, like which one is what's tonight's attendance, and you have to right. guess the thing, and then they boil it down to just the one. Like maybe they list why is Alicia asking for a divorce right now?
Right.
And you give a you know, he can't get a boner, like you know, kind of thing.
There's the infidelities, and she could look the other way if they were with women. But coworkers and males, that she just had to draw the line. And she's seeing somebody else as well, and that's where we summon Terry Crews. And he comes down, and he's super respectful, but that's it gets sadder, so he's even more respectful.
I mean, in a day when people are worried, when these leagues are all worried about live attendance at the ball games, I mean, who wouldn't want to be there for that?
Well,
the game is besides the point. I'm going every day now.
You do a simple math. You know, 50% of marriages end in divorce these days.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to figure it's probably a little higher amongst the nut jobs that decide to do this on the Jumbotron at a Mariners game, right? It's probably into the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is, do a marriage, you know, a proposal, you do a proposal every fifth home game. And then just sit back and wait for the dividends to start pouring in.
If you start this in April of baseball season, by August, I would assume you're going to have at least one divorce to show up on the screen.
And if you just do it every year, you'll have a backlog of divorces that are just every, you know, I mean, you couldn't get through an inning without
what's
the
cool
divorce
is thing. What's cool is Ace loves sports, but that's, that love doesn't mean that there isn't still room to make them even better. That's what you're really doing. You're fixing sports to be even better for the next generation.
I would attend divorce cam, although it'd be weird then if, like, you're, let's say you and your honey have hit a little rough patch, and she says, come on, we're going to the Mariners game. You'd be like, hey, why don't you go? You go on ahead. But I thought you loved going to baseball games.
Seth, we have to have a talk. I have two tickets to
at the ballpark
to the Timberwolves game.
Yeah,
let's
I'm
go.
Just saying. Once people caught on, then it'd be a little bit weird.
I don't want to go to this. I don't want to see the T-Wolves. Why are we going to see the Grizzlies and T-Wolves?
It could also be used as leverage. Like when the wife, said, "Listen, Ted, I've asked you multiple times if we could go to counseling together and you refuse. Now, I got a couple of tickets. Dodgers are having a homestand." Okay. All right. Fine. We'll talk to a counselor. You know what I mean? Like, she might not. Maybe she's going for a divorce camp. Maybe she's not. But once the word gets out,
That guy's running to therapy.
There are all sorts of fun things you could do with that. Like I say, the fan participation element. Maybe the mascot could take his head off and he could be the new lover.
That'd be good.
I'd like you to meet my significant other. And there's,
The Philly fanatic? And again, the kids crying. All a very strong part of it.
I'll throw one more in for
you. And the kids would be great because initially the kids wouldn't know what was going on. They'd be waving and they'd be up there taking bows and doing all the things 10-year-olds do when they're on camera. And
now
then when they found
out.
Now
it's time for Heather and Atticus to decide who they want to live with more, mom or dad. Go ahead, Atticus, you're up first.
Yeah, we'd have to decide on custody right then as well.
I love it. All right, see, this is going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to that making its debut. You know, probably when the NBA and NHL seasons get going here in just a little while. That's it for now. Good Sports Podcast One Sports. Back with more tomorrow. Good
Sports. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Adam. Regarding your masterpiece, In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, here's some more evidence that we're already there. I'm a teacher, and last week the teachers at my school, we had a meeting before the kids returned for the year, and all the teachers stood in this big circle, and the principal asked us to introduce ourselves by giving our name, our teaching subject, and our preferred pronoun. Preferred pronoun, good God. Well, out of 100 teachers, two of our teachers said that we should always refer to them by the pronoun they. Oh, man, I wish you'd been there to speak up for us. You're the best, man. Thank you so much.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
I rarely say this, but I wish we could just hurry up and die. get it over with.
We're working on it.
Yeah, I don't want to kill myself. I don't want to go to hell, but I like just kind of hurry up and die. Jeff Dunham is in studio, the Perfectly Unbalanced Tour. And I'll give you some dates for that come up. You can go to jeffdunham.com. Also, getting his Walk of Fame, star today, as you hear this.
Really?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Hollywood Walk of Fame. Jay Leno and Howie Mandel are doing the presenting.
Big time. It's pretty great. The timing's fantastic because Howie just finished with, Let's Make a Deal. Is that what he does? Just kidding. America's Got Talent.
Yep.
I hadn't heard it.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. And I went over there with my buddy Matt. He's here today. We went over because, you're always wondering, well, where is so-and-so star? What's it going to be? And I was kind of praying it was going to be in front of a porn stop or something because that would be incredibly funny to joke about.
Sure.
But it's kind of in the middle. It's in front of a CVS pharmacy, so...
Oh, yeah. Who are you around? People we've heard of?
Everywhere from Bob Hope to Pitbull in the same block.
Hey.
Yeah. And,
the whole spectrum.
Huh? Entertainers.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then what's his name? The guy did all the Disney movies.
Walt Disney.
Close.
Kurt Russell.
Jeff Van Dyke?
Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn are both right there together in the same block.
It's a deep dive with Disney and movies, Kurt, but Kurt as a child actor did all those Disney movies.
The computer that wore tennis shoes, do you remember that?
Yeah, he did all those sort of, Disney had a slew of like live action, the goose that laid golden, $1 million duck or whatever, like, you know, the mule that could kick field goals. I swear to God, yep. Gary, you got to look all these up from like 1968 to like 1975. They had a donkey that kicked field goals. They had the world's greatest athlete, Jan Michael Vinson.
Oh, wow.
They had the million dollar goose, the goose that laid golden eggs. They had the computer that wore tennis shoes. They had the Shaggy DA.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a sheepdog that prosecuted hardened drug criminals.
Wasn't Freaky Friday a Disney movie?
Yes.
Yeah, but that was way
faves.
Or probably later,
70s, late
later
70s.
That or whatever. But they did a whole slew of like weird, but
the thing that thinged.
Yeah, my kids that are 11, if they went and saw Gus, the donkey that kicked field goals, would set the fucking theater on fire halfway into it. But we sat there because there was no other form of entertainment. Like,
so
we
are
had
you sure
to.
It doesn't hold up?
I may not. it has my favorite part of all insane movies where the opposing coach is pissed because Gus just kicked a 70-yard field goal, and the ref runs up to him, and he has the rule book on hand, and he goes, "You show me where it says a donkey can't kick a field goal." And the coach's like, "Ugh, he's fit to be tied." It's like, they probably wouldn't specify, because then you'd have to get ostriches. You'd have to really cover everything in the ark.
Any
you know?
Cloven-hooved animal can not kick a field goal.
Did they learn nothing from Flubber?
Yo, Flubber was all up in there. So, I'm sorry. So, Jeff, congratulations, by the way.
No, I love coming in here and sparking tangents.
You are a tangent sparker. And I see you on Jay Leno's Garage all the time. Yeah. And I know you're a car guy, but you're kind of a kooky, eclectic car guy.
Now, here's how I sum it up. I like cars that start conversations. That's it. You know what I mean? There's a handful of really unbelievable vehicles.
Right. Here's how the conversations start. What the fuck were you thinking, Jeff?
You know
Jesus
what?
Goddamn Christ.
That's,
how much?
That's one of the conversations. Okay,
let me ask. Need that
here's a debate I'm having with one of my guys, my consultants on the vehicles. The Brubaker Box. You ever heard of this?
No.
Okay, if you Google it, look it up. The Brubaker Box was this guy named Brubaker, and he invented
prison
this,
warden.
Yeah, it was something like that. Is that right? I don't know.
It's a famous movie.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Brubaker.
Yeah.
What was it called? Brubaker.
Brubaker.
Was it Brubaker? Yeah.
It's
well,
it's,
this is apparently his female counterpart.
Right. Sure. The box. Right. Sorry. Jimmy said tangent. Yeah.
So anyway.
Robert Redford starred as Brubaker. The prison warden. Now, Jeff, we're looking at, they made a lot of crazy stuff in the 60s and 70s, stuff that they turned into like Ravel models and stuff later on. Just
okay,
funky.
So look at that thing, the Brubaker box, right?
Right.
So it's on a VW platform. Look at the bumpers. They're this giant plank of wood.
Yes.
Right?
Which it looks
no
like
sense.
A looks like a cool, funky, you know, futuristic minivan from the 60s or 70s.
Minivan. Yeah, right. And Adam, if you were standing next to that thing, you're waist would be at about the top of the windshield. So it's this short little cool looking thing. So I got one that was in pretty good shape, right? So the question is, how much would you spend to restore that thing?
Mm-hmm.
And how far would you go? It was basically a kit vehicle, not a kit vehicle, but along that par. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How much would you spend to restore that, and how far would you go?
Well, let me preface this by telling the unwashed masses here that you can spend $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 restoring a car that at the end will be worth $80,000. And the reason I don't say $20,000 is I'm thinking about some of the older Lamborghinis I have, or some of the more older 60s Italian cars, Ferraris, whatever, V12, whatever. You can get Ferraris that are worth about $100,000 now that you could easily spend $250,000 restoring, in which case you're now $350,000 into something that's worth $110,000. So this is a VW chassis and a VW power plant. So I'm going to say it's going to be cheaper, but it has a lot of bespoke fiberglass on it, like stuff that you can't just go down to the Chief Auto Parts and buy off the rack.
Well, this is mainly just interior upholstery and bodywork. All the parts and pieces are there. So you're going to spend a lot of time and money on this thing.
You could easily spend $100,000 restoring a car like that.
Yeah. So what is your opinion on something like that? When you spend way more money than you're ever going to get out of it. I have an argument.
Well, it's called, you know, everyone talks about FU money.
Right.
The best place you can be in financially is F me money. Jeff Dunham has F me money. He can fuck himself. Getting your lawyer to write a note to some guy you hate costs a couple of bucks. That's FU money. But paying tens of thousands of dollars for a van that nobody wants, that's F me money. And Jeff, you have F me money.
Well, this is the argument, because nobody in their right mind would spend $50,000 restoring a $20,000 vehicle. Nobody.
Nobody who didn't have F me money.
But see, that's where the beauty of this is that somebody has to. because for generations, you know what I mean? Seriously, these things will go away and never
be found again. That's
And somebody has to. I love the creativity of this guy that came up with this thing that he thought he was going to become a millionaire selling a boatload of these things. He was going up against the big three. Of course, it's not going to happen, but he thought he could.
I love it. Yeah, and every guy who thinks or thought back in the day he was going to go up against the big three and take them on was always insane, and the vehicles were a little more insane. Jeff has, he has the amphibious car, the Amphicar, that a lot of people, actually, I told Jimmy Kimmel about that, that an Amphicar, like in 1994, and he swore I was making it up. And I was like, they made a production car boat that was street legal that you could just drive right down the ramp into the lake. And do we have Jeff and...
Lyndon Johnson owned one of those. And you know what Disney's done with them?
Hmm.
There was a guy that bought up about 100 of them, went throughout the country and the world and bought about 100 of them. And now they use them for tours. They drive people $100 to get in this thing and tour around in the lagoon down at Disney World.
Wow. Hey, Gary, but, the set over here is not on, by the way, for Jeff to enjoy.
I can turn over my shoulder.
If you want to watch Jeff in his car that he owns driving to a lake.
It's Jay. Jay and I did it. And what's funny is a buddy of mine had one exactly like mine. So the difference was mine apparently had a few more horsepower, and Jay and I raced, and I beat the crap out of him. So
yeah, well, I'll show you guys whenever Gary couldn't have possibly anticipated this coming.
The inevitable happens when two men with high-performance machinery get together.
I think I know where you're going with this.
It's called a race.
Jeff and I will compete in this automotive triathlon. Pavement, then water, then pavement.
Are you ready?
Let's do this.
Pretty much 51 horsepower.
They're so cute.
They're so cute. And they made them what, in the 60s, the 50s?
Yeah, 60s. This mine's a 63.
What happened? It went away.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
He can't see the race.
Look at that thing he just did.
How did you survive that?
Whoa. That'll never be seen again.
They pump out water that gets in the car. If that fails, you're going down.
Yeah, the bilge
clip
pump
went down.
He's describing a bilge pump.
All right. Well, we had a little technical difficulty over here, but it was really cool. And later on, you guys, I think the next season had another race on water.
In modern day Amphicars, these things were like unbelievably fast on the water and pretty great on the road. So the modern day version of this thing. And he beat me in that one. But it's like, it's kind of like, this is my analogy. That high-speed Amphicar boat, the modern day ones, $100,000+, which are cool, but it's kind of like being in a giant parking lot with
Hold on, I'm yelling, Garrett. Garrett, just show him driving to the goddamn water so everyone here could go, okay, and we could get on with our lives. Sorry.
But having a high-performance one is kind of like being in the middle of a big parking lot with a sports car with no circle, no track. What are you going to do with it? You can do donuts for a little while, and then what?
Yeah, well, though, the high-speed one was fun to watch, too, because you guys were flying. All right, Gary, if you have him driving into the water, just waiting for Brian and Sheena, that's fine. And if you don't, then we'll get on with our lives here.
I got to argue with you on the...
Go!
Here we go.
They just drive right down the ramp and drive right into the lake, which feels
wrong.
Very wrong and very weird. But
people think you're trying to commit suicide, by the way. You could have a $6 million yacht. But you pull up in one of these things.
All
right, we got it.
Wow.
So there you go, Gary.
I'm sorry, if you said this, I didn't catch it. How fast does it go on land?
Okay, here it is. It's a horrible car and a terrible boat, but it does both. It's the fastest car on water and the fastest boat on land.
That's all I need
to
know.
This is basically the car version of, my wife may be fat, but boy, can she not cook.
Exactly.
That's essentially what that car is for you.
Yeah, and then we drove it home on the 405.
Oh, really?
So, it's terribly frightening.
Well, it's a perfect speed for the 405.
Well, you're going... Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, not in the afternoon when everybody's going 75 and you're doing 50 maybe downhill.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's also bad when you get killed on the 405, but it goes down as a maritime disaster.
Well, you do. You have to have both. You have to have it registered as a boat and a car. So you get whammy double by California.
How many Batmobiles do you have?
Well, do you want to count the Bat Smart by George Barris?
Yes. Let's count the Bat Smart.
That'd be three. So, the 66, which is a replica, and the guys that did this were brilliant. Everything works on it. The saw, I didn't bring that one. I brought the other one. So, the saw works on it. The flame goes out the back. All the toys work. It's ridiculous. And come on. You would get in that car and drive down the freeway playing the tune on the radio, right?
Yeah. We'd be dancing the Bat-Tusi, I think, while the tune was playing. But you have one from the movie,
Keaton,
too, right?
Yeah, the Keaton one. That's the one I brought here a couple years ago. Yeah.
You have.
Oh, my God.
The Keaton Batmobile.
Yeah, there were three of them. Two of them were the hero ones in the movie, and this one was the stand-in car that they used for, I guess, a couple of pickup shots here in the U.S. or something. But, and we made that thing street legal. We took the crate motor out of it, the 350 piece of crap, put an LS7 Corvette motor in it, and put air conditioning, and we got some guy with the DMV that was a really nice guy and made it street legal.
Is there...
Pretty sweet.
What do you... So it's like I collect the Newman cars, the Newman race cars.
Right.
I got his third championship car arriving, I think, tomorrow.
Wow.
So I'm excited. He won 4 national championships. I will be the proud owner of 3 out of the 4 of them, and it's a Triumph TR6. It's an old car from way back in the day. But so I'm really excited about that. So I always have like, oh, that's the car I want, like that sort of holy grail.
Right.
Now you like stuff that's way off the beaten path, but is there something you're looking at? Some sort of holy grail car for you. Car.
Oh, I'm on the list for the 4GT.
Oh, yeah, the 4GT.
Yeah, so supposedly I'm in the second wave.
Okay, you guys know how the 4GT works? You know, I always laugh about this with people because when you say to someone like my mom, hey, the LaFerrari is a new Ferrari and they're making 299 of them, and they're going to charge $1.8 million for the car. She says, who would pay $1.8 million for a car? And I go, it's not who, it's who gets to, because they have way more offers than the $300 or $299. And if you would like a Ford GT, the new Ford GT, you don't just sign up and get in line. You have to write them basically a love letter describing why you deserve one of these cars. And
it's like a college entrance exam.
Yeah. Or make a video.
Did you make a video?
I may or may not have.
Literally a 6-page essay on why you deserve the new Ford GT.
And you have to just beg them.
You have to beg them to get on a list.
You have to grovel.
And by the way, once you get on the list, you get to pay $650,000, depending on how you load up the car.
It's like the country club thing you were talking about. You pay the,
And then you have to sign a thing that you swear you will not sell it for 2 years, and if you do, I guess you get thrown in jail with no food.
Right. It is a crazy world we're living in, but what a great piece. So now what... Leno got his, and then we'll get some
news. It's like his daily driver or something now. And Tim Allen got his, silver. Jay's is black with an orange stripe.
Which sounds weird, but it's kind of cool.
It's beautiful.
What combo?
I don't know yet. I don't know. Because what they do is they send you this kit, and it's like, it's ridiculous. You've turned 10 years old again. They send you this kit with the little formed car, and you put the colors on it and the little stripes. It comes with a striping kit. So you get to build your stupid little car and go, this is it. This is the one I want. This is the one.
Right.
Yeah.
What a world, man.
So that color's a little off there. That stripe is way more orange than that.
We're looking at Jay Leno and his. He got his number of months ago.
Yeah. What color would you get? They offer, the lame colors.
See, there's a whole bunch of thought here. Like, do you get it in some famous livery, like the Gulf blue and orange? And in that case,
there's the kit.
It could be worth more 10 years from now. Or do you pick your own color? Like,
your
what is
colors.
your team colors? It's a lot of. Here's the thing. A lot of it is what do you like, but you also have to kind of have an eye toward the future.
There's back. Now, that's back to restoring the shitty. Sorry, the shitty. Oh, you don't care. That's back to restoring the shitty car. Do you care about somewhat what someone else will like when you're too old to drive it or when you're dead?
Well, I'll give you an example. So, two examples. One is you go, okay, hey, I just like silver cars. So I just want to get plain silver. And then you go later on in 10 years when the cars are selling for $1.5 million, except for the silver ones are going for $1.3 because Tim Allen and 80 other people have a silver car. Then you kind of go, well, maybe I should pick something like a little more unique. It's sort of like this. In the vintage car world, you get an old Lamborghini or an old Ferrari, and you go look up the VIN number, and it turns out that your 1967 GTB Ferrari whatever was in verde green or some sort of factory green color. But hey, it's a Ferrari and that green looks ugly and you're going to have the car totally restored and you want to do it at burgundy. And you go, okay, well, do it the color you want to do it, except for the car's worth $3 million. And whoever buys it next is going to look at the thing and go, this isn't the original color. Mm-hmm. It should be put back in the whatever. And then you've just lost $200,000.
Right.
So you get to kind of make that decision.
But that's good F me money.
And by the way, that's good F me money. And in my coffee table book, What Black People Think White People Talk About All Day, this will be a chapter.
Yeah, it will.
Jeff Dunham, the tour you are going to be on Thursday, that is next Thursday, September 28th, you're going to be in North Dakota, and let's see if I can say this right, I can't even say it right.
Oh, I can't say it right.
Hoskfest in Minot. I don't know how to say any of those words, but
Were you about to try to say Minnetonka?
No, it's just Minot, I think. It's Norsk
Minot.
Hostfest.
That's Minot.
Okay, Minot. Norsk Hostfest in Minot, North Dakota.
The three words I've never said either alone or in order. I'll tell you what, go to Jeff Dunham. Put an H in there, D-U-N-H-A-M, jeffdunham.com, and find out, because he's coming to El Paso, and he's coming to Saratoga, and he's coming to North Dakota.
60 cities in this tour so far.
60 cities in this tour.
But I got to watch my Netflix special.
Oh, watch the Netflix special.
Yeah, that came out last week. We're real excited. I went to Ireland to do that one, and the Irish people are great comedy fans. They know our politics better than we do. So, a lot of stuff to joke about and have fun with.
Yes.
So, nothing lost in translation, because we talk about that sometimes.
You know what? When I went there a few years ago, they didn't know what Lucky Charms were. And for some reason, they have Lucky Charms over there. How are they not have Lucky Charms in Ireland?
How do they not know?
Well, they knew in England, but not in Ireland.
I got to tell you, not since I was pulled aside in Canada at customs and trying to explain to them that Michael J. Fox, you know, they were hassling me in customs, and they found out, I told them, I'm here. Everyone said, just tell me here for pleasure. Don't tell me here for work. Me and Jimmy were going to Canada to like sell the man show or something. But they said, everyone says, just tell them pleasure, not work. And then they pulled an itinerary out of my backpack, and it was wall-to-wall work. And they said to me, don't tell me you're not getting paid for this. And they were showing me all these radio stations I was going to, and then the car's going to pick you up, and they're taking a Good Morning Toronto and everything. And I said, I don't get paid for that. I don't get paid. Oh, please don't tell me. You know you get paid for this. This is work. And I said, no, it's free. It's free. And then I said, when Michael J. Fox does the Tonight Show, he doesn't get paid. And she said, who's that? I was like, what?
National treasure.
I was living
the
at that
turned.
Point. Yes. That's like your Lucky Charms moment, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
Who's Michael J. Fox?
Who's Michael J. Fox? No one knows.
In Canada? Oh, man.
Sad.
National treasure.
Sad. All right. So, by the way, the Netflix special, it's available as we speak, Relative Disaster, and it's out again as we speak. All right. Jeff, hang out with us. We'll do a little news. Shall we, Gina Grant?
Let's do it.
First, let me hit Geico real quick. Allergic to saving 15% on your automotive insurance? Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. What do you do? Well, you got a bunch of cars. Look, whether you have a Camry or the Batmobile, you got to have it insured. And if you're going to have car insurance, you got to go with Geico. Go to geico.com, spend a few minutes looking around, and see just how much you could save on your auto insurance. All right, Gina Grad, let's do some news.
All right.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, I hate to start out with this, but this is what is happening in the world. A couple of natural disasters have wreaked havoc on Mexico and Puerto Rico now in the past few days. The death toll from the 7.1 earthquake that devastated Mexico City and the surrounding areas on Tuesday has reached over 200. The killer quake came less than 2 weeks after the country was hit with another deadly shaker.
I'm showing you some buildings are collapsing.
Yeah, some really, really scary video. What's also eerie, by the way, is that the quake hit 32 years to the day that another quake killed thousands in Mexico City. I believe that was an 8.0. Meanwhile, Hurricane Maria made landfall early Wednesday morning on Puerto Rico as packing winds of 115 miles per hour, making it just shy of a Category 5 storm.
Remember we were talking about yesterday, the end of days,
yes,
people?
We're
making,
Saturday.
Making fun of them?
Yep. Maybe. And I just got this breaking news alert that all of Puerto Rico at this moment is without power.
Yeah. Can I say this, as someone who used to do earthquake rehab for a living, you can't have the building you saw collapse was one big brick building. You cannot have unreinforced masonry. It just, it's brittle, goes like that. Mexico, the places that don't have timber go right down. The place you go, if you ever drive through Mexico, you see almost everything is made of cinder block and brick and mortar and unreinforced whatever. And you also wonder, in a world where you can grease everyone's palm for almost everything, building inspectors, I don't know. Not up to code. You got to get some steel in there. You have to get some wood in there. Everything's got to flex. If you guys have ever tried to demo a 2x4 wall that was skinned with a shear wall plywood that had like lath and stucco over it, you'll fight it for days. Like you can't. It just twists and bends. Imagine opening up those plastic shrink wrap things that go over scissors. You know, when you get hold of that thing and you're like, you're bending, you start using your teeth and you start, there's nothing you can do.
Impenetrable.
Versus matzah. It just snaps. It's just brittle.
That's, happy Rosh Hashanah, everybody.
Yes. So everybody, steel and wood. And I don't know, I'm trying to think, like, where's the, I don't know enough about the topography there, but is there any forest in Mexico and where does the wood come from? And I think it's all brought in and that's the problem.
Maybe some by the coasts where it's a little more
not,
wet.
Yes. I've not seen
any. I don't
any
know. I can't tell you.
In the times I've been there. So that's the problem.
Yeah. Very, very sad. And I assume the death toll is going to go up from there. It's really, really rough.
But it's all about codes and it's all about materials because we had a 7.2 here, or 7.1. We have the same 7 point whatever. And there's a couple of freeway, again, it's the concrete, it's a couple of freeway things come undone from the other freeway thing, but we don't, and by the way, I'm not counting heart attacks from the elderly, because I'm assuming they would have had a heart attack later on that week anyway, so I'm not going to count them in our death toll. We have almost no destruction because of all the steel and all the 2x4s and all the plywood and all the codes.
Well, and I don't do any earthquake rehab, so I don't really know what this means. But when people say, oh, that building's on rollers, what does that mean?
Those are the big high-rises in downtown, and they've pretty much figured out that flexibility and movement is the friend of an earthquake, even if you're up on the 42nd floor and it scares the shit out of you. The earth moves underneath you,
and
you move above it and with it. Yeah. The whole key is sort of riding and floating and flexing and not fighting.
Right.
This is probably an apt time to remind our listeners, whether you're in earthquake country or tornado country or wherever you are, hurricane area, refresh your emergency kits.
The great shakeout's coming up.
Buy case of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cash, batteries, whole thing.
Yeah, I agree with Brian. Start hoarding now. Everyone hoard.
That's what I was saying.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Well, a Texas woman has been getting ridiculed online for being too sensitive after she blasted the arts and crafts chain Hobby Lobby for selling faux raw cotton stocks, which she found offensive, according to New York Post. This is like a stick with little cotton blossoms in a vase.
Plants are now offensive?
Yeah, very gauche, I would say. But Danielle Ryder, who happens to be African-American, that comes up later, posted on Facebook this past Thursday, quote, "This decor is so wrong on so many levels. There's nothing decorative
Hold
about
it." Hold on. Whenever somebody says something is wrong on so many levels, I rarely find anything wrong with it on one level.
On even a level. You're right.
But when they announce on so many levels, it usually doesn't get above a half a level, because I usually disagree with the initial premise, and we never get to the other
levels.
Which
makes the other levels moot.
Because, like level, I don't know, 14. Where would it be wrong on that level?
Just tacky.
But this is wrong because it had cotton?
Yeah. So, she goes on to say, raw cotton, a commodity which was gained at the expense of African-American slaves. A little sensitivity goes a long way. Please remove this, quote, decor.
The young woman's going to be devastated to learn there's still cotton.
Well,
and it's still being harvested.
What about when she reaches into the multivitamin jar and finds the cotton at the top? That's insensitive, right?
Correct. And somebody will allude to that in a clip I will show you. Meanwhile, just not a personal note, but a side note, Hobby Lobby, not a fan of separating church and state and giving out the birth control. So I'm surprised that she was so vocal about being in Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Right. Oh, she shouldn't have been in Hobby Lobby.
If that's the thing.
That's
so
right.
That's a thing. The Young Woman's Post garnered.
They deny women access to birth control.
For religious
reasons. Unless they want to fucking go buy it themselves, in which case they don't.
It is expensive. This garnered over 186,000 comments. A lot of people called her out for saying that this was an issue when it isn't. In fact, a guy, I don't know if you heard of him, I didn't hear of him before this, goes by the name The Political Cowboy, has garnered 6.5 million views on Facebook with his response to this incident. I don't believe I have the clip of it, but he does reference the cotton in the Advil. He said, take an Advil. Oh, you can't do that. You got to take the cotton out. But here's a couple of snippets. The first
Wait
one.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
How much of what's going on is performance art?
Like these initial people that are claiming to be upset?
Yeah. Like, I know we're pretty knee-jerky about now, and we all buy into it. And I'm not saying she's not upset. Mm. I'm just saying, you know, there's a fair market for fake news, and there's a fair market for tomfoolery, and we could be getting sucked
this
into something here.
We could be getting trolled here.
Now, it's smart if you're a woman, and it's smart if you're a black woman to do this. Even smarter as an Asian woman, because you guys play no practical jokes. Like, if Jimmy Kimmel did this, we'd immediately be on to him. Like, if this is a dude, it's kind of weird, but we have a sort of practical joke pyramid. White dudes are at the top.
Knoxville,
chicks are way down, way down. Like, they don't have that gene of, you know, that pulling the chain gene.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you start getting into certain ethnicities, we keep going way down.
Yeah. Like, not part of the culture.
No one's ever started a sentence with, oh my God, let me tell you about a great practical joke my Asian female friend pulled on us.
Not again.
That old
not another one.
Yeah, they don't do
You're
it.
Right.
So a good way to slide under that radar is to be a black female.
Well, that might be tomorrow's developing moment in this story, but this is The Political Cowboy. He's gotten just blown up in the past day or two. In the first clip, he talks about how privileged the woman was who was complaining about the cotton in the first place.
You aren't oppressed, you're blessed. You weren't looking for a roof to cover your family's head. You were looking for picture frames and art supplies and fake floral arrangements to put on your dining room table for with which you could eat food that has been purchased freely from a store and prepackaged for you. You're privileged. Look, I pulled foot-long guinea worms out of people's legs in Nigeria that entered them through contaminated water. Can you believe a white boy in a cowboy hat would spend 2 decades of his life working with folks in Africa? Now, that doesn't fit the narrative, does it? Those folks have a hard life. You don't. You're in a freaking Hobby Lobby. You want to trade places with them? They'd love to trade places with you.
So that's one point. And then at the very end, he offers some advice.
So until the folks like BLM decide to get offended and fix places like St. Louis, Chicago, Baltimore, Oakland, Detroit, Philadelphia, and L.A. from the proliferation of progressive liberal policies and the victimology that has destroyed your communities and your families, then we can talk about decorative cotton. Until then, trust me when I tell you, I do love you, but the stupidity's got to stop. I love you. God bless. And here's a Facebook poll, if you can handle that from a white dude.
I bet you as soon as the camera stops, you hear the wife from off camera, Herschel, the brisket's ready. And he pulls a cowboy hat off, and there's a yarmulke on there.
He's got a Boston Red Sox shirt on. Did you see that?
Yeah. That is not...
What box do we put him in?
I don't know.
That's the performance that you're talking
about. Yeah, maybe.
Now, I wonder if these two work in concert with one another, which is, I'm going to get you 6 million clicks, cowboy, because I'm going to go complain. Like, I wonder if you can start using shills to set up sort of like a guy who does crowd work but plants.
Yep. This is the folks in the audience. Bob Zamuda situation.
Right. Yeah.
Interesting.
Could be something here.
Although I did see this on, I think, Fox News. A side story, Lipscomb University. President Randy Lowry was forced to send an apology letter to students on Friday after they visited his home to discuss college and became outraged.
I feel like Lipscomb and Chapman University ought to get together and go, can we straighten this out? Lipscomb, Chapman, let's see if we can clear this up here. I feel like the two of you need to get together.
Some sort of a rash.
Yes.
So they became outraged when they were invited to his house to discuss just living on the campus and college life.
Who was outraged?
The university students at Lipscomb. Mm-hmm. They were invited to the president's house, the president of the university, because he had a number of cotton stem centerpieces that he set up around the residence. And he wrote them a letter saying, the content of the centerpieces was offensive, and I could have handled the situation with more sensitivity. I sincerely apologize for the discomfort, anger, and disappointment we caused, and solicit your forgiveness.
Wow. By the way,
stalks of cotton.
Stalks
of blooming cotton.
But also,
they're in one of those oversized pottery, a pot,
stucco
clay pot.
Yeah.
The best way to, well, first off, the reason apologies don't work in these situations, you have to do something that warrants an apology in order for me to accept your apology. If I'm going to say, you stepped on my foot and you never stepped on my foot, then apologizing for stepping on my foot really doesn't work right.
Then
the apologies never work in these situations because whatever you're asking for is insanely unreasonable. So no reasonable response to your insanely unreasonable question will ever satisfy you.
Yeah.
And you never hear about the group going, that sounds fine.
Yeah,
we're moving on.
It's acceptable.
We get it. It's never that. It's just on to the next thing. And all you're doing is chucking chucking furniture onto a bonfire that needs sand. The sand is shut up,
yes.
Knock it off. You're a student. I run the place. I have no idea what you're talking about. But when you open your mouth, you sound dumb. So please keep it shut. And why don't you shut your mouth and open a book. How about that? And then you move on.
Yeah,
indeed.
Instead, when you start doing the... When you start back, there's certain people who encroach. When they encroach, they encroach. We were talking to Teddy Atlas about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson would beat up anybody as long as they were scared of him. The second somebody started walking toward him, he had a real problem with that person in the ring. And Teddy backed me up on this. Evander Holyfield was not scared of Mike Tyson. He just wasn't. I don't know why everyone else was scared of Mike Tyson. And when they get in the ring with Mike Tyson, they would start backing up. And when you start backing up, you get knocked out. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. On the other hand, when you start walking toward Mike Tyson, you freak him out because he'd never seen this before. And he relies on you backing up when he's encroaching. Right. And you backing up just gets him to move forward that much faster. What these adults need to do is go Evander Holyfield on everyone ass. Go real deal on their ass. You walk forward, not backwards.
Yes.
When people,
You're
just
right.
because people demand an apology doesn't mean you have to apologize. If you are drunk and you're operating a motor vehicle and you drive over someone's special needs kids in their own driveway, by all means, apologize. But when you're putting out floral arrangements and folks demand an apology,
and inviting them
you
over,
tell them to shut
tea.
The fuck up. Yeah. And it stops them. And as a matter of fact, it's good for them because you create a world with gravity and boundaries. And right now, they don't have boundaries. And without those boundaries, they spin.
So where's it all going to go? Where's it going to end? And what started all this? It all started with social media because everybody has now a voice and a platform, right?
Right.
So. Everybody thinks they're a brand, not right. a person.
So mm-hmm. now what?
Well, as I've always said, the adults need to be the adults. And
you better hurry because they're becoming the adults.
Yeah, they're all growing up and dying. We're going to be gone.
The when you're 18, 19, or even 20, and not in the era where you were a mm-hmm. battle-hardened veteran of World War II by the age of 20, like leading a platoon, but today's 19, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, you're not the adult. You don't get to call for policies. You don't get to call for apologies. You don't get to talk about curriculum or dictate what's going to happen. You don't get to tell professors that they must spend a day off campus. You don't get to demand that they start teaching this or stop talking about that. You don't really get a vote. You technically get a vote in this country, but you don't get a vote, and we need to get back to that.
How's that going to happen?
Well, the people, this puss needs to stop apologizing. Right. That's the adults need to become adults.
Yeah, I love the idea of a pushback on apologies because a lot of times we've entered this era now where people are demanding you apologize not for something you've done wrong, inadvertently or intentionally. They're asking you to apologize, demanding you apologize for you making them think of something they don't like. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with a stalk of cotton. You made them think of what they associate stalks of cotton. Like, a stalk of cotton isn't a noose. It isn't a deadly weapon. It makes them think of something they don't like. Like, there was a story that came out. It was a couple weeks ago, and I got a lot of tweets about it. It was about USC. USC's horse, the famous horse,
yeah.
is named Traveler.
Right.
And there was a big uproar. No, minor uproar.
Like, yeah, I heard about
it's,
though.
It's the same name as Robert E. Lee's horse, Traveler, and thus they should change the name or lose the mascot.
Spelled differently,
very different, and just because it makes you think of something different doesn't mean it's wrong. There's nothing to apologize for because it makes you imagine something you don't like. Like, where does this end? You go up to someone, like if someone's like, oh, this is my son, he's a German, his name is Adolf. It's like, I demand you change that name. It makes you think of something I don't like.
It'd be nice if they changed that
name. It'd be nice. It's an extreme example, but... this is my grandfather from Germany. His name's Adolf. Oh, I am very offended by that. No, you're not.
Well, atheists don't like Adam because that's the first man in the Bible.
There you go.
Yeah, they're the worst.
I will take it a step further, which is it's not even this reminded me of something you must apologize. It's more I'm offended. I'm demanding an apology.
But are you offended?
Must, no, I don't think anyone's offended. Yeah. The point is I've told you to apologize, so you must apologize. I don't even know what it's for these days. Mm-hmm. The you want something to complain about, students. The lawn jockey on the way up was much more offensive than the cotton floral arrangement that was on the,
it's a very
on the table.
Point, yeah.
All right. Adults need to retake the asylum.
I live in a neighborhood, by the way, that there's a street and there's a handful of lawn jockeys, and two of the residents have them painted black.
They do.
Yeah. And the other two don't.
Do you have like a homeowners association that could write a letter?
I don't know how that, happens.
I got a white lawn jockey a house and a half away from me. And here's the question. Did they start off as white lawn jockeys, or did they make the move to white lawn jockeys?
No, if it's an old one, they were all black.
Yeah, but I don't know what vintage the lawn jockey is.
Well, who in their right mind is reproducing lawn jockeys nowadays?
That's a good question.
You should pull it out and put a flamingo in the front.
No, it's my next dummy. I'm going to make the lawn jockey.
Oh, the lawn jockey.
And it's going to be like the emojis where he's yellow. He's like Simpson yellow.
Smart, yeah. Don't pick a color. So is white lawn jockey wildly inappropriate? I know it's unnecessary. Nobody has a horse that short, by the way. It doesn't add a lot of curb appeal. But when you say, like when you, as a homeowner, when you go, I got a lawn jockey, are you making a statement? Are you just kind of set in your ways? Is the white lawn jockey?
I got sort of an answer for you. I got sort of an answer from my world. We have a museum of ventriloquist dummies. The Van Haven Museum has over 1,000 ventriloquist dummies, and some of them going back over 100 years old, right? So in the 20s, 30s, and before that, all ventriloquist dummies that were black were actually black. I mean, like black. Not brown, but black.
Right.
And that's how dummy makers, figure makers painted them, because that was the thing at the time. So now we have these on display at the museum. So what do we do? Do we repaint them brown? So the policy.
Well, the good news is no black person has ever been in that museum.
Yes, there have.
Well, not the guy who buffs the floor. I'm talking about actual people there to enjoy.
They come to the convention.
Dummies.
They come to the convention. No, plenty of African Americans of every race and creed come to that convention. So, but that became a thing because when school groups would come through. You know, you'd get a couple of questions. Why are those dummies painted that way?
And it's a teachable moment.
I think the answer is historically, that's how they were painted back then. We don't do that now. We don't condone that now. But bright red lips, white eyes, and black skin. That was the way they were portrayed back then. Is it racist today? Of course it is. But that's a historic piece. It's a museum piece that sits there.
Well,
representing what it was back then.
Pretty much all museums, other than modern museums, which are worthless, are pretty much just a diary of how horrible humans are. You know, just
well,
their
not
Holocaust.
All horrible.
Well, just the Holocaust and sure. Many war museums. And there's always, look, if you're not showing or telling both sides of the tale or what went on, then you're not really a museum in your own weird way, unless you're a modern museum and you have, then you just become the sort of museum version of Yoko Ono.
Do you think the Skirball doesn't put enough energy into the Germans' point of view?
I feel like whatever, as a museum, you're like a history book, and you may disagree with slave ships, but if slave ships existed, then they're chronicled in this book called the history book. And if you're doing a museum of whether it's a Holocaust museum or the ventriloquism museum, a little bit more of a bummer. But if you're doing that, then you chronicle dummies of yore, and that's it. That's all that. And if they're black dummies, then they're black dummies. And then we can look at it and go, well, look how far we've come from this.
There you go.
From that time.
Look how far we've come. And I'm waiting for the Irish dummy that has a potato in his hand that, from my heritage, I think I'm supposed to be offended, right?
You're never offended if you're doing well. Put that on your license plate, Frank.
All right.
You don't even get that. Look, I'm not kidding. Like, Asians don't even get to be minorities. Like the group that is the greatest minority in terms of numbers, which is how you sort of define minority, they're not even minorities
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah. UCLA is trying to curb their attendance a little
too
many.
Yeah, you know you've arrived. All right, let me tell you about arriving. Tommy John, man. Oh, when you were a kid, who picked out the underpants? Dad, mom? Now you're a man. Let's start dressing like it. Tommy John, next generation men's underwear, crafted from featherlight, breathable fabrics that move with you. Never any riding up. Features a contour pouch in the front there. You get the junk all nestled up front. And the patented horizontal quick draw fly. It works very well. I must tell you, I love my Tommy Johns. Super soft undershirts. They stay tucked in. Crew and tank and T-tops. Never come untucked. Socks that stay rolled up and they don't slide down the ankle. And they got a proprietary stay-up technology. They never slide down and hang out down at the ankle there. All backed by the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee you got nothing to lose. Just the best. You'll never go back. It's Tommy John Dawson.
Use code Adam at TommyJohn.com now for 20% off your first order. That's Adam for 20% off at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
All right, Gina Grant.
Well, you're talking about Tyson Holyfield a little bit. I don't know if you heard the news about Jake LaMotta. You might be the only one who really is familiar with him, but the legendary boxer, well, and Brian, because
Raging
of him.
Bull.
Yes,
yeah.
The legendary boxer was depicted by Robert De Niro in the 1980 film Raging Bull, has died either at the age of 95 or 96. It hasn't, there's a couple different sources. According to TMZ, the former middleweight champion died from pneumonia at a nursing home. He'd been on a feeding tube for several weeks, but his condition deteriorated and his family decided to cease the effort. LaMotta's boxing career began in 1941 and included six storied bouts against Sugar Ray Robinson. His 1970 memoir, Raging Bull, My Story, became the source for Martin Scorsese's film. De Niro won an Oscar, by the way, for Best Actor for portraying him. LaMotta's wife, Denise, told TMZ, quote, "I just want people to know he was a great, sweet, sensitive, strong, compelling man with a great sense of humor, with eyes that danced."
Yeah, those Sugar Ray Robinson is one of the greatest athletes ever. I'm going to find footage of him. You know what he did? He boxed and then he also danced and like just was like a full-blown entertainer. Like he was like sort
like
of
Muhammad Ali.
He was like that Muhammad Ali kind of guy before Muhammad Ali was Muhammad Ali. You forget that there were plenty of these guys around in the 30s and the 40s and just a crazy athlete. And, you know, like the LaMotta was just he was a tough guy, but the tough guy can never overcome the crazy athlete. That's the crazy athlete always beats the tough guy in almost anything, but especially in boxing,
like
even though
Tyson.
You think it's a, well, Tyson.
He wasn't a like outlier athlete type, right? He was just ferocious.
Who?
Tyson.
Tyson was a little bit of a freak of nature, and that at 12 weighing 190 pounds,
yes.
You're powerful. He's a powerful guy, and Tyson did have a lot of sort of crazy quickness. His thing was his quickness, but Sugar Ray Robinson was just he's fighting a bunch of hold your ears, Jeff, tough Irish dudes and stuff like that. But he was like crazy athletic, and they just couldn't really hang with his athleticism. As I was explaining to my nanny Olga last night, if you want to take a look at how cultures and folks are doing, I mean, you see a guy, we're looking at him fighting in the 40s, looking like a modern day fighter, which everyone else is kind of flat footed and sort of Marquis of Queensberry and all that kind of stuff. And he's just sliding around. I mean, looks like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Looks like Floyd Mayweather the way he fought. Okay. I always say, you want to judge how a culture's doing. All you have to do is go, who's fighting? So she's from Guatemala, and I was explaining to her, You may find this weird, but back in the turn of the century, 20s, 30s, 40s, a lot of Jewish fighters. Tons of Jewish fighters back in the day. Tons of Irish fighters. Tons, Jake LaMotta, of Italian fighters. Now, black and Hispanic. What happens is the Jewish fighters fight for a while, but then they say, my kid's going to college, not getting his head bashed in, and then they go off and become attorneys. And
yes, ironically, in the book The Tipping Point, they explained that why are so many Jewish men or Jewish people attorneys? Because back when they became attorneys, back in the turn of the century, it was a lower class gig. Like it was, you know, filling out paperwork, and it was the only job they can get. And it became a higher class. As they became more successful, so did the job.
Well, and money lending, because nobody would lend them money.
So you
had to lend to each other.
Your job is to, as a culture, is to watch a fight card with six or eight fights on it and see nobody that looks like you fighting.
That's how you know you made it.
That's how you know you've made it, unless they come from like one of these Baltic republics or something, and
sure,
they got the weird last name or something like
Olympic,
that.
Olympic, you know, pedigree.
Something like that. But what you're looking for, so all the fighters, you know, Jewish, Italian, Irish.
Now, it would be hilarious.
Seems comical.
Yeah.
Even, and by the way, you want to talk in terms of like, who's doing well? You got the Jews not going. You got followed by the probably Italians, followed by the Irish, then followed by the Italians. But whatever it is, they ain't in the ring anymore, mm-hmm. and that's what you should be hoping for. It's sort of the same thing you see on construction sites.
Mm. No one that looks like you.
Nobody that looks like you. That's right.
Boy, you achieved that when you were on the construction site.
That's why I get the big bucks. Yes.
Can I say this about Jake LaMotta? His death leaves a gaping hole in the. And the holy shit, I didn't know they were still alive, All-Stars. Yes. Like, Jake LaMotta was a, hold on a second, was a starting member. Let's, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Let's,
who else now is on the list? Now it's just Richard Dawson.
Henry Kissinger still on there. Doris Day is still on the list. Kim Novak still on the holy crap, I didn't know they were still alive list. Sidney Poitier. Sirhan still alive.
Really?
How?
And the leader, Little Richard.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
God bless.
Little Richard still alive.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying. I mean, that's what we're saying. I mean, you fix my inflection, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Norse Hostfest.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
LifeLock, Equifax recently announced a breach that could affect 143 million Americans. That is a lot of Americans. 200,000 credit card numbers were accessed, plus personal data, including social security numbers for about 180,000 were all accessed, all breached, man. Look, let's not be a victim of identity fraud. Good thing there's a LifeLock. I have it. Kids have it. Wife has it. Detects a wide range of identity threats you may miss just by monitoring your credit. Like if someone's stealing your 401k, you got to get LifeLock. It's 2017, people. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it, but you're not going to have a problem. You're going to have LifeLock. Let's get smart. All that shopping you do online, all your information that's out there, let's not get it pulled over to the dark web, man. Let's go with LifeLock. Dawson.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com.
All right, this Saturday.
That's just in big news.
Oh,
Fats Domino still alive.
Oh, no way!
Yes, someone just tweeted me.
Wow.
By the time
Good
this
news.
Airs, three of those people will be dead. Three of the seven. Not Taco Bell material, me, one-man show. Chicago, Park West, that's coming up this Saturday. So come on out. I'll be there with Mike August. And after show, we'll come on out to the lobby. We'll take some pictures. We'll say hi. Minneapolis, October 13th, Music Hall. And then October 14th, Nashville, Polk Theater. Come on out and say hi. Jeff Dunham, his special, everybody, on Netflix. Relative Disaster. It's out on Netflix as we speak. His website, jeffdunham.com, you can go to because he's doing a tour and he's coming to a town near you in his Amphicar, everybody.
How about my YouTube channel?
And his YouTube channel. What the hell's that?
It's not on there. We did a new video that's killing it right now.
Where do we find it?
At my YouTube channel. Go to, I don't know, YouTube. And then
you search Jeff Dunham. Search there's Jeff probably Dunham. Only one.
Well, anyway.
One that's
we have
knowing.
Over a billion watches on YouTube now.
Damn.
Really?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Billion.
A
yeah.
billion with an yeah. M, everybody. Yeah. Unbelievable. Congratulations.
And so, I'm telling you, the new Bubba J one with Bubba J singing the hits is one of my favorite ones we've ever done. We rewrote all kinds of hit songs, and I'm very proud of it because it's just wrong.
So go to YouTube and watch that. And also, tomorrow is when our cruise is going to end. Not the cruise, but the suites and the rooms available. That's it. You're getting locked out. We're going to break down Cobra. That much I can promise you. So have fun with us on the cruise.
Do they allow weed smoking on this cruise?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
That's an upper deck.
International waters.
International
I like
waters.
It.
Yep. Monkey knife fight.
Where does it go? I want to go. Where's
it goes go? To Cozumel, Key West, Cozumel, and you can go to travelbyparker.com and check that out.
We'll
roll of drinks.
We'll see about the Key West part.
We'll rebuild.
Jeff Dunham, everybody, until next time.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, man. Until next time, Adam Kroll for Jeff Cesario, Jeff Dunham, Gina Grad, and Mal Brian. Say mahalo. Shut your mouth and open a book.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace at Adam Carolla and give him a thumbs up on Facebook. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles. And for everything Adam Carolla, including tickets to the solo, not Taco Bell material tour, hitting Chicago, Minneapolis, and Nashville, get your tickets now at Adam Carolla.
Hello, this is Coach Jim Harbaugh with my esteemed colleague and co-host JT Rogan. And we're excited to announce our new podcast, Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, that's coming to Podcast One.
Each week, we'll be talking to different members of the Harbaugh family, along with athletes, celebrities, and unique guests.
On different episodes, we'll have my dad, Jack, my brother, John, my sister, Joni, my wife, Sarah, and even my kids from time to time. We'll have great guests each week, and we'll attack each podcast with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Sounds pretty good to me. So join us each Tuesday on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast here on Podcast One. Also, make sure to subscribe on PodcastOne.com, on the new Podcast One app, or at Apple Podcasts. And Coach, who's got it better than us?
I know the answer to that, JT. Nobody.